This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Now I'm live on Pet Life Radio. I'm live on Instagram. Here for you pets. You know the drill. So once again, yes, I'm very casual today because I am not in my home studio. I am actually in Cabo San Lucas enjoying some amazing weather. It's pretty cool. It's certainly relaxed. As you can see, I've got a little sunshine. And so no complaints. All is good. It's been a great time. And got to go back today. So I want to talk about a few things. I mean, certainly I want to wave to you guys. I hope you guys have some questions for me. As you know, hey, B, anything you want to talk about, now is the time because, hey, it's free advice. Can't beat free advice. So anyway, I want to know how everybody's week has been. Mine's been good because Thursday morning I was on a plane over here to Cabo, and it's been really, really good. Love this place I'm at. We were here 2 months ago for my birthday, and now we're again, and then next month we're going to another place in Puerto Vallarta, bringing the kids and the grandkids, which would be a lot of fun. And everyone says I have to relax a little bit more. So I'm doing my best. I'm actually doing my best to try to relax a little bit more. That's the story. So let's see. I'm waving to everybody. Breakthroughs for treating cancer. Oh, there are a lot of breakthroughs for treating cancer, New York Yankee. So one of the things I have to tell you is that one of my mentors, who she was a double board in internal medicine and veterinary oncology at Davis, and super, super sharp. And then after practicing for a number of years, she's still in active practice. She went to Stanford for a PhD as if she needed another degree in comparative oncology. And after her study, after her 3 years, I think it was there, I saw her at a conference. I said, so Barb, what was your takeaway? What did you get, you know, the most out of this? And she goes, I learned the most is how little we know about cancer. And that is really what it boils down to. The keys now are not just treat, treat, treat. It's understanding, which is why, if you notice, we're not going into less and less chemo and radiation therapy. We're still doing it, but we're doing more immunotherapy. We're trying to see how can we turn the genes on in the body to attack its own cancer. And more importantly, what went wrong with the genetic pool that also, you know, sort of stimulated the cancer in the first place. How many times, and I have, you hear about, sir, I unfortunately just lost a very dear high school friend to non-smoker's lung cancer. Now, what turned on that cancer gene in a non-smoker? And the truth is, we don't know. The key to really treating cancer is to find out what's turning it on, how we can stop it. Is it an aberrant gene, something we can fix, something we can unmutate? What is it going on? So at this point, you know, again, we're doing a lot of chemotherapy, a lot of radiation therapy, surgical removal. Some of the things we knew, for example, we used to debulk first, meaning do a surgery to remove a large cancer and then do radiation. But oftentimes, why did we have to do radiation? Is because we couldn't get all the cancer. So what now are some, depending on the cancer, where it is, they're treating radiation first, shrinking the cancer, making it more amenable to be surgically removed, and then doing the surgery as a second part instead of the first part. And that makes a lot of sense. And I've had many cases where I said, oh my God, had I known then, even my own dog. Now, fortunately, he did great, and he did great on chemo. And he, as you know, my Grover, who went to, I did surgery the day of his 15th birthday and medication and, you know, post-op chemo. He ended up making it to 16 and a half, which is unbelievable. That's one of the things I want to talk about today are age expectancies. And I'll tell you why in a minute. So do you treat parakeets? No, I don't. I really like birds. A lot. I would love to own a macaw or a parrot or a cockatoo, but it's really a specialty and you have to have the right equipment. You really have to know birds. Most of the bird doctors I know actually did extra education doing birds, and it's truly an art. I love them. I get along with them, but I don't treat them. Possibly a broken tail. What was that for? Give me more about that broken tail. Let's see. Actually, adopted a young cat from the West Side. Actually, due to my Malamute, he accidentally slipped out of the bedroom and he freaked out and I received the worst. Okay. So first of all, anytime you bring a new animal to the household, you want to make the experience positive. So first of all, the meeting sometimes has to be very controlled, meaning have the dog on a leash, having the kitty in your arms. The first thing, the dog's not going to, usually, I can't say always, usually it's not going to go right for the bite. They're going to sniff. It's like, what is this new thing? There's a period where they want to see and they're interested in the new thing, a bit, an element of surprise. And they're very curious. Let's show them what it is. And then as soon as the dog takes a sniff or two, boy, praise the heck out of the dog, okay? And give a treat and then walk away. Don't give them too much at once. It's got to be small baby steps. So now every time you bring the kitty near the dog, it's a little sniff, sniff. It's good boy, sit. Look what we have, a new friend. And this is whatever the kitty's name is, and give a treat. Then you can start feeding him. Usually, again, these are not always, but usually a dog, when given food, dinner, is more interested in dinner than the kitty in the same room on the other end of the room. So it's unlikely a dog is going to leave his meal to attack a kitty on the other end of the room, as long as there's no threat. Now, if the kitty was eating next to him, oh, by all means, be careful. Don't do that. But the whole goal is to have the kitty in the room when the dog gets to eat. And not having the kitty and the dog doesn't get to eat, then again, that dog is going to want that kitty there. Now, I'm sure you go on the internet and you see the most adorable videos of dogs and their kitties in the same household, cuddling together, grooming each other. I mean, that's what we need. I mean, my cats and my dogs walk right by the cats. They don't care. They're very curious, obviously. One of my dogs, my Dwight, who's my Frenchie, he ran after one of my cats. Unfortunately, he ran after the big cat. And the one who's the most seasoned, he's 13 years old, and he doesn't take no poop from nobody. And he turned around and he swatted that dog. And now that dog thinks twice before he tries to jump on the cat. So, you know, it can be done. It just needs to be slow and easy. All right, let's see. Cancer is a metabolic disease. Well, it all depends. I mean, cancer is, it depends where the cancer is. I mean, it is a physiologic disease, of course. Whether it's related directly to metabolism, all depends on the type of cancer. Now, some adenocarcinomas, which can hit the stomach and the intestine, that might be some link to a metabolic disease because they deal with the metabolism, the breakup of nutrients in the body and the storage of nutrients and the distribution of nutrients to parts of the body. So yes, technically they're physiologic, they're anatomical diseases, physiologic diseases, again, depending where they are. Now, if you have a cancer on the skin, that's more of an anatomic, it's probably not physiologic, well, it could be, but it's not metabolic. So they're all linked to the body's systems. Does food have a direct correlation with cancer? Again, that's one of the age-old questions. We don't know. Now, certainly, some of the better food companies, or I shouldn't say better, the more natural, maybe touting more natural, better ingredients, more high-quality ingredients, they would like you to think that. But I don't think there are any diet itself. Now, there might be some foods that might be linked in long-term to cancer. Yes, no, there are foods that are linked to organ disease. So why not cancer? I get, yes, it is possible. Can I rattle off some right now? And the answer is no, but I would say yes, there very likely could be a link. Hey, Steve, how you doing? Lincoln ear infection, how many cc's of Memetrax? Okay, so for a large dog, I would say anywhere from 0.6 to 0.8 cc's in the ear. They say that 0.8 is max, but I've had some 100 plus pound dogs that I've done one cc. The beauty is, thank you for that question, Bethany, because it's really weird when you think about it, the stupidity, for lack of a better term. So these companies that make these products, they come with a long nozzle, okay? Or they come with just a little drip, like Tresidder. And they say, put 8 to 10 drops, whatever it is. So you're standing up there because you need to count the drops. Now, what's the likelihood then? If you're dropping up here to count the drops, it's getting all the way down to where it needs to go. Or when you have that long nozzle and it says, put so much, I could count the drops. So the only way to count drops is to have it up where you can see them. So that's silly too. So what we do, and as many of you know, we send home a tuberculin. That's a 1cc syringe, very skinny syringe, holds 1cc. And we take the top off. That nozzle means nothing. Stick the syringe in the bottle itself. Draw up anywhere from 0.4 in a small dog to 0.8 in a big dog, anything in between. And then you insert the syringe, about that much in the ear. Now you don't want to shove it all the way down, just enough to it. And then you gently, that's the key, gently push the medication to the ear. Why gently? Because when you put that syringe, depending on the width of the ear canal, you might be creating a seal. Okay, now it's under pressure. If you jam that plunger down, then the pressure could actually rupture the eardrum. So it's just a gentle push, and then you massage. And that's what would be the medicine that needs to work is going to get to where it needs to go in order to work. So great question. Thank you. We have two back-to-back dogs, different breeds, one with cancer of the spleen, the other with cancer of the liver. Well, again, lousy luck, splenic cancer. These happen all the time. The splenic cancer, I hope the spleen was removed. You got it in time before the cancer ruptured. I just had one the other day, a incidental finding. saw a mass on the spleen. It had not ruptured. There was no blood in the abdomen. We set him up for surgery within a day or two, removed the spleen. You can see this very large mass, fortunately, before it ruptured, and this dog should be fine. Now, of course, we're going to biopsy the spleen, because if it's hemangiosarcoma, it's still going to be a poorer prognosis. But if it's hemangioma or splenic hematoma, then our removal of that spleen is curative, and that's the best you can have. Now, the liver, again, where is the cancer? Has anyone biopsied it? I would recommend a biopsy. If it's on a single lobe, a surgeon can remove that liver lobe. Your GP, if they are so inclined, could do the biopsy. I do liver biopsies. And now some of these things can be done laparoscopy, okay, through a laparoscope, or open surgery. If you think you're going to want to remove a lobe and it's isolated to a lobe, then you got to open up and do the surgery. Okay, a parakeet. Let's see. Oh, the parakeet has a broken tail. I don't know how you're going to fix it. There might be, a small splint. It might heal on its own. I don't know if an x-ray was taken to see what it looked like, but I'm sure there could be something that could be done, or just comfort knowing that there's nothing you need to do. It'll just heal. Peanut butter without xylitol, okay for dogs like an Akama. Absolutely. Just the thing is, and thank you for bringing that xylitol. A lot of sugar-free peanut butters have xylitol. Xylitol, or they called it birch from a birch tree. So you think it's a very natural supplement because, oh my God, it's an actual tree. How bad it could be? It's a xylitol. That's how bad it could be. So if you see birch sugar in a natural product, sweetened with birch sugar, natural birch sugar, keep it away from your dogs. That's basically xylitol. But without xylitol, it's fine. Now, you know, peanut butter is very fattening. Too much could be a problem because it's very oily, very greasy, and there's a high fat content. So don't be very liberal. Use it, you know, very sparingly. You can stuff it in a Kong toy. Now, just so you know, Kong puts out its own brand of peanut butter that could be stuffing's choice, which I think is lower fat peanut butter. You might think of that. But also a recommendation would be after you push the peanut butter down into the Kong, put the Kong in the freezer. It'll harden that peanut butter so they can't eat it in chunks. They can only lick it. A, that serves a better purpose. It takes them longer to play with that Kong toy because they keep licking at the peanut butter. And they can't get enough of it in one fell swoop to ingest too much at once. So hope that helps you. One path with cancer of the spleen. Still have other with cancer liver. Know we talk about the foods that might give ingredient that might cause cancer. So again, I know of no specific study that definitely implicates a particular food with cancer or a specific protein in a food with definitive cancer. It's a great thing. I can talk to some of my cancer people and see. You're giving me some curiosity. So I'm going to call my good friend, Dr. Rodney Ale, and I'm going to ask him. He is the best. All right. Anyone else with a question? I'm waving at everybody. You took care of my daughter, Maltese Barney, and Barney. Oh, that's good. Thank you. I never had a problem inducing any of my cats. My previous males ended up urgent care 3 times. Just wanted to help the fire victims that couldn't leave. That brings me to one subject that I wanted to talk about. So I'll tell you what. We're going to talk about basically a dog's unpredictability. I'm going to share a story that happened in my own family with my daughter and his first 3 dogs. And I'll talk to you right after this break. So don't go away. This is important stuff.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
So we're back. We're back here live on Pet Life Radio. We're just talking about Parvo and a puppy who only had his first set. The answer is yes, it's possible. So that's why I tell people after the first set of shots, you do not have freedom to go outside, to mingle. The only thing you want to do is it's very important for dogs at this age to start socializing. So you bring a friend's dog to the house, or you go with controlled environment to the other house where the dog that you're trying to socialize with is well-vaccinated, healthy as hell, and that's the way you do it. But it's better for the dogs to come over to you and to play. Now, if you have more than one dog, then don't risk it. Just have them socialize with your own dogs. And that's important. Now, after 12 weeks, when I say after, I mean 3 to 4 days after, you got to give a chance for the vaccine to work. Then you could start maybe going out in your neighborhood. No public places. You know, as I say in LA, no Third Street Promenade, you know, no The Grove, no Beverly Hills Rodeo Drive, no dog park. You just need to stay on your block. It's not until after 5 days after the final is that you can start going out. So I hope that helps you out. Yes, JB, loving it here in Cabo. It's great. Very relaxing. The weather's been great, et cetera. So now, unpredictability. So what happened was my daughter, and we've been through this many, many times. Sometimes I actually want to shoot her because she doesn't listen. And many of you with kids, she's 33 years old. She knows everything. She's a mom. So I can't teach her a thing, even when it comes to animals. So there she is with four, actually, dogs that are like pity, mastiff crosses. I mean, and they usually get along great. And yet they have gotten in fights before. And interestingly, every time that my daughter's not around. And we told her, you can't leave them together. You don't know. None of us know for sure what sets a dog off in the first place. And could it be guarding a bone or a toy or food? Could it be being all worked up by seeing that cat outside and they're both barking at the window at the cat? And they're so worked up that they start going at each other. And that is displaced aggression. And it happens a lot. And in talking to her and talking to my clients that are in these situations, I show them a picture when I spoke at the children's hospital on dog bites, where it's well-known fact, most kids that are bitten by dogs are bitten by the family pet. It's not when they're outside. No. It's not a dog walking the street calmly enough. Dog runs across the street and attacks. Oh, does it happen? Of course it happens. You've heard those stories, but that's not the norm. The norm is they get bitten by their own family pet. I, for one, at 5, was bitten by my family pet, and I had plastic surgery on my face. So it happens. Was it provoked? I don't know. I was 5. I don't remember exactly what happened. All I know, this dog jumped up in a dead sleep and grabbed me by the face and cut my whole face and chin open, my cheek, my nose, and my smile line on this side absolutely is not a smile line. It's a scar. I mean, he did a great job through the plastic surgery, but it happens. Anyway, I have a picture. I don't want to show it to you, and I don't want to show it to a mother. It is frightening, and it is a face that was literally chewed up. It wasn't a bite. Mine was a bite. It was one bite, and that was it. This was a mauling. It literally kept going and going and going at this poor child. The kid did live, lost an eye, but you cannot believe how much damage was done to this little boy. So, and we're not talking a walking boy. This is like an infant. This dog attacked him in a crib. So we just don't know what it is, what sets them off. And when maybe it's a different dog when you're around. Because my daughter says they never do this when she's around. Well, first of all, she's right there to stop him. And secondly, and I told her from now on, when she goes, they can never be in the same room. Impossible. One's got to be outside. One's got to be in one room, another room. One loves his crate. Keep him in the crate. Because it happened again. I got to sew up one tomorrow. I'll be back in LA tonight, and I'm going tomorrow to sew one up. The other one, all bite wounds all over the place, but none of them deep. So she's there on them. We got her started on antibiotics. But this is what happens. Dogs are unpredictable. I don't care how great your dog is. You don't know. I walk my dogs, and they get along great. But when we're walking them, and they see another dog or a squirrel or a skunk, and they start, and they pull. My Frenchie, the pain in the butt, starts going after my yellow Labrador. So this is exactly what happens. And I'm pulling them apart. And my lab doesn't take it. So he tries to fight back. If I wasn't there to stop him, they would keep going. And yet at home, they sleep next to each other on the bed. They're cuddled up next to each other. So that's what I'm saying. It's unpredictable. Do not take chances. Now, speaking of wound care, two things that you want to share with you. And that is that alcohol is a no-no when it comes to open wounds. Say it again. Alcohol is a no-no when it comes to open wounds. And lately, you were hearing the same thing about peroxide. It used to be peroxide, it fizzes up. And we think it's killing up all the bacteria. And no, it's also destroying some tissue attempting to heal. So that has fallen out of favor as well. Is it as bad as alcohol? No. So the best thing is just a mild soap and water. You can get an antibacterial soap. Anything that's advertised kills 99.9% of bacteria. That's fine. You can get a chlorhexidine scrub. You can get it anywhere, any drugstore. It's going to have chlorhexidine scrub. You can use all the good old-fashioned physohex, but you do not, ideally, no alcohol, and you want to use an antibacterial soap. Do not use peroxide if you can help it. You know what peroxide is good for? To reduce vomiting at home, if your dog is eating something and you're trying to make him throw up, and you have a window of about 2 hours. If it's longer than 2 hours, probably not a good idea. Okay, and lastly, let's talk life expectancy. We have about 4 minutes to go, and if you have any other questions, then I will share. I'm waving. Hi, guys. So there was a news story recently. Kelly Ripa had to say goodbye to her 17-year-old Shih Tzu. And, you know, for some reason, that became very newsworthy. And I realized that satisfaction comes from expectation. If you're expecting a Shih Tzu, every Shih Tzu to live 17, then you're going to be disappointed. And the truth of the matter is, unless you are 95 when you get a new puppy or kick, unless you have a parrot that can live, a parrot, a macaw, a cockatoo that can live 60 to 80 years, sometimes more, or a desert tortoise, which can live over 100. So unless you have one of those animals, you are going to outlive your pets all the time. And it's something to know yet. You have to know. And because if you have that expectation, when it happens, look at the glass half full. Hopefully, most of the times you can look at it as a half full glass. You look at the positives. Made it to 13, 14. My Labradors, two labs that made it to 13 and a half. And I was thrilled because if you look it up, that labs will say anywhere from 10 to 12 years of age. So I had 13 and a half. I was ahead of the game. And then I had another one that made it to 13. I was ahead of the game. Then all of a sudden, Rover comes along and decides to make it to 16 and a half. Right now, I have a 13 and a half year old lab. Right now, he's Tommy. He's a yellow lab. To look at him now, do I think, is his death impending? No. In fact, I just knocked him out a couple of weeks ago, cleaned his teeth. We had one that we had to extract. His bloods were perfect. His chest x-ray, perfect. But we don't know what's going to happen. And therefore, am I going to think, well, he's another one's going to lift to 16? Probably not. I'd be a fool to think that's going to happen. And I'm not going to expect it. If he works, if he does, I'll be in heaven. I remember my mom had a Doberman that had a lipoma. And when she was 12 or 13, went under her arm, wasn't that big. And I said, Molly, she's 12 years old, 13, whatever it is. Leave it alone. It's not hurting her at all. A year later, now she's like 14. And it's about 1.5 times the size. She goes, now the dog's 14. There's no way she's not going to make it to 15. So leave it alone. A year later, 15. Now the sucker is so big, the dog can barely walk because the thing is right under the armpit. I said, well, I've been proven wrong too many times. We're going to knock her out and we're going to take this tumor out, which we did. He did great under anesthesia. We took this tumor out. It was almost the size of a soccer ball. It was huge. And that sucking dog lived 17. So I tried to take it out when it was small, but who knew? So the thing is that you have to have expectation, but don't have an improper or false expectation, because that's only going to hurt you in the long run. So anyway, I would say is that, and also that, by the way, it's another reason why I no longer wait. I used to wait. I used to mourn, go through a mourning period. Yeah, who's affected by the mourning period? There's a deceased dog? Not a pet. They don't know. They're not looking down. They say, I can't believe they got another pet already. I've only been gone for 2 weeks. So that's not happening. So what the one that hurts the most, too, it's that shelter puppy or dog that is going to be put to sleep because you didn't adopt it. And you, because you're going to go longer without a pet. And there's nothing worse than having a household pet empty. So when it goes, I mean, yeah, you want to take a week, too. That's all fine. But you should be thinking about right away, when are we getting our next one? And that's what I do. And, again, I always have multiple pets. I have 9 right now. And why do I have so many? Because I don't know how to say no. And if there's a life to be saved, I want to try to save it within reason. My bed is only so big. And I already got, sometimes 8 or 9 animals sitting on it, lying on it. I don't want that to get any worse. But it's not big enough. And there's already sometimes not room for me. So sometimes that couch is not uncomfortable. But so the key really is that it's all about expectation. Know when you're getting a pet that you're going to most likely outlive it and it's going to hurt when they go. Hopefully you'll get as much as you possibly can from them out of life, out of a long, active life. But do know that most likely they're going to go before you do. And now, again, if you're 90 and you're thinking about getting a pet, think twice or make sure your kids or grandkids like that pet also, because there's a good chance they're going to end up with it. That's why I say people who have parrots or macaws, because they can live a long time. And you got to make sure they know how to care for the bird as well you do. So as you're getting old on an age, you might want to educate them about the care of these citizen birds, because they like to hang around for a long time. All right. Anyway, there you have it. Hope, thanks for joining me today here on Pet Life Radio and Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. I will be back in LA actually tonight and back to my own regular time show next week from home, my home studio at 9 a.m. in the West, noon in the East, and of course, anything in between. If you have anything that comes up during the week and you don't want to wait till Sunday, you don't have to wait till Sunday. Just reach out to me in a million different ways you can reach out to me. And I'll be happy to answer your questions, either Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com, right here on Instagram. I'm Werbs. Obviously, you know where you are because you're here. So you know Werbs underscore DVM. And please tell your friends that are not following me to follow. Because if they are pet lovers, hopefully I can help them, educate them, and more importantly, save them money from having to go to a vet all the time for something that we can handle right here on the show. I'll give them some suggestions, things they can try, and you can possibly avoid that now, unfortunately, very expensive, as you know, veterinary visits. All right, have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.